passerby with a Dixie melody. When you croon a tune from the heart of Dixie, hang that cradle, mammy mine, right on that
Mason. Nelson, rockabye your baby with the Dixie melody, then wrap up your troubles in dreams by Bing Crosby. My favorite little old wine drinker, me, from Dino. And then finally, a couple of selections from the movie Zorba the Greek by Mikis Theodorakis. Big D Radio, 4 minutes past 5 o'clock, at 6 o'clock this evening, the other side of the fence with the other side of John Kenny. And he'll be with you from 6 through 9 tonight, featuring, of course, the other side of the fence top 10, the alternative top 10, which is on about 8:15 or thereabouts, if you're still alive at that point, if you haven't completely done a Paddy Canal on the world and committed mental suicide at least a dozen times in 5 minutes. We're going to continue with a record that was Rudy's Raver of the Week this week, deservedly so, because it's quite brilliant. This is Stevie Nicks.
Baby, you go nugget.
Tom Petty, and then Petty himself with the Heartbreakers and a song called Restless, which is kind of nice. Got to say hello to excuse me, Dennis Sexton and Celine Murphy, and also to Carl Granger and Katrina Henderson. And I just had these names handed to me on a piece of paper, and I said to Rory, what is this, you know? And he said, they're in love with each other. And I said, who's in love with who, right? And he doesn't know. I'm afraid Rory's not too coherent this afternoon, to say the least. And he's not all that communicative on the telephone at the best of times. So I'm not sure whether Dennis is in love with Celine, Carl, or Katrina. Oh, who's in love with who anyway? I hope the message gets through to them all. Dennis Sexton, Celine Murphy, Carl Granger, and Katrina Henderson. I don't know where they are in Dublin, but they're listening anyway. So, Space Invader cadet-type people, they must be, nonetheless. Big D Radio on a Saturday afternoon, and these are the excellent Tokyo Olympics.
Between the day you're born and when you die, You know they never seem to hear even your cry. So as sure as the sun will shine, I'm gonna get my share now, what is mine? And then the harder they come, the harder they fall, one and all. The harder they come, harder they fall, one and all. And the oppressors are trying to track me down. They're trying to drive me underground. And they think that they have got the battle won. I say forgive them, Lord, they know not what they've done. So as sure as the sun will shine, I'm gonna get my share now, what is mine? And then the harder they come, the harder they fall, one and all. Harder they come, harder they fall, one and all. Come, harder they fall, one and all.
5:24, Big D Radio on a Saturday afternoon. The Selector there, and Out on the Streets from their Selector LP. This is a track that I've always been madly in love with. I still am. It's The Pretenders, Private Lives.
Anything official. Private life, drama, baby, leave me now.
Stop.
Private life, drama, baby, leave me out.
Stop.
Private life, drama, baby, leave me out. No sentimental gestures, only for me today. Appeal, now save your breath. Attachment to obligation through guilt and rejection, that's so wet. And your sex of complications are not my fascinations. Private life, drama, baby, leave me now. Said use the door, but you're still clinging to somebody you deplore, and now you want to use me for emotional blackmail. I just feel pity when you lie, contempt when you cry.
Private life, drama, baby, leave me out. Here, you've been ferreting around in my sandwich box, haven't you?
I certainly have, and I found something not altogether connected with sandwiches. It's Encyclopedia of Sexual Knowledge. How do you explain this?
I found it on the heath, Pete, and I thought I'd better keep in my sandwich to keep it dry, you know, until someone claimed it.
You've been hiding it away, aren't you, because you're ashamed of it?
No, I haven't. I just kept it out for safekeeping.
You shouldn't be ashamed of sex, Dad. It's no good hiding your sex away in your sandwich tin. That won't do any good. Bring it out in the open.
It's a good book, though. Some good bits in it. Have you read anything?
I've been through it up to page 3001.
Well, you've read the whole lot then, haven't you?
Yes, it's quite good, isn't it?
I like it because it tells you everything about sex from the word go, doesn't it?
Well,
it's
a wonderful thing about a sexual mores throughout the ages, Dad.
And it shows you humans' sexual endeavour from the time of Adam and Eve, Pete.
It certainly does, all the myths about it as well. Mm. Of course, Adam and Eve, while they were in the Garden of Eden, they didn't have anything to do with sex to start with, you know. When they were in paradise, they didn't have anything to do with sex. Because they were wandering around naked, but they didn't know they were naked.
Oh, I bet they did know. I mean, you soon know once you get caught up on the brambles,
They had no idea. They were remarkably stupid as well as naked, and they didn't know they were naked till up came a servant. The serpent.
Serpent, yeah.
Well, serpent in servant's guise, as some authorities have it. Yeah. Up came a serpent and said, "Here's an apple. Lay your teeth into that." And then they lay their teeth in the apple, and then the serpent said, "You're nude. You're completely nude."
Hello, nudies.
Hello, nudies.
Of course, they dashed off into the brush and covered themselves with embarrassment, didn't they?
And mulberry leaves as well. They covered themselves all together with this primitive clothing made of leaves. And suddenly, as soon as they become completely covered, they began to get attracted to each other. Mm. And then, of course, they tore off the mulberry leaves and it all started, the whole business.
Well, I think, you know, once you get clothes on, you're more attracted to other people, like... I think Aunt Dolly's more attractive with clothes on than off. So Uncle Bert says, anyway.
Yes, well, Aunt Dolly is really at her most attractive when she's completely covered in wool and has a black veil over her, and ideally she should be in another room from you.
But who is your sort of ideal woman, Pete?
Well, above all others, I covet the elfin beauty. The gazelle slim elfin beauty. Very slim, very slender, but all the same, still being endowed with a certain amount of...
Busty substances.
Yes, a kind of Audrey Hepburn with Jane Mansfield overtones. I go for. What do you like?
Me too, the same sort of thing. But actually, I like the sort of woman who throws herself on you and tears your clothes off with rancid sensuality.
Yes, they're quite good, aren't they? I think you're referring to rampant sensuality.
Well, either one will do. But, of course, the important thing is that they tear your clothes off.
Yes, that's the chief thing, whether it's rampant. I like a good rampant woman.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, a rampant woman or rancid, whichever you prefer. That was Veronica Pilbrow.
Oh, goodness,
her?
Yes, I remember her.
Remember
do I remember her, yeah.
She always used to throw herself on Roger Braintree, never me, though.
Yeah, well, Roger Braintree at school, he always knew much more than everyone else, didn't he? He's always boasting about the things he knew much more than anyone else.
Oh, clever draws, wasn't he, eh?
Yeah. Remember that time he come round behind the wooden buildings?
Yeah.
And he had, what was his name?
Kenny Fair.
Kenny Fair with him. And he come up and told me, he said, I've discovered the most disgusting word in the world. It's so filthy that no one's allowed to see it except bishops. And nobody knows what it means. It's the worst word in the world.
What was the word?
Well, he wouldn't tell me. I had to give him half a pound of peppermints before he let it out. Do you know what it was?
What?
Bastard.
What's that mean, Pete?
Well, he wouldn't tell me, so I knew it was filthy, but I didn't know how to use it. So he said the only place I could see it was down at the town hall in the enormous dictionary. They have the enormous one with a whole volume to each letter. And you can only get in with a medical certificate. So I went down there and sneaked in, you know, very secretively, and went up and I took down from the shelf this enormous, great, dusty bee. And brought it down and opened it up, and there was the word in all its horror, bastard.
What was the definition, Pete?
It said bastard, child born out of wedlock.
What's a wedlock, Pete?
Wedlock, Dad, is a horrible thing. It's a mixture of a steam engine and a padlock. Some children are born out of them instead of the normal way, and it's the filthiest word in the world, Dad.
Yeah, make your hair drop out.
Yeah.
Well, I like looking words up in a dictionary. I like going down the Valence Library into the reference library and getting out the Dictionary of Unconventional English out and looking up bloomers.
Yes. A good way of spending an afternoon, I suppose.
Because I tell you what, Pete, actually, the whole business of sex is a bit of a letdown, really, when you compare it with the wonderful romantic tales of the novelist who can portray sexual endeavours in so much better form.
Well, Pete, he makes it all so perfect. In the hands of a skilled novelist, sex becomes something which can never be attained in real life. Have you read Neville Shute?
Well, very little.
How much of Neville Shute have you read?
Nothing.
Yes, well, he has, Shute is a master of sensuality. He has some wonderful erotic passages. There's Town Like Alice, which is a wonderful book, in the hardcover version, page 81. If you go down the library, it falls open at that page. It's a description set in Australia, Dad. And of this ash blonde girl, Tina.
And Tina, don't you be mean.
Shut up. Standing on the runway, you see, of this aerodrome. And it's very hot, Australian bush heat, and very hot indeed. And she's standing there waiting for her rugged Aussie pilot to come, bronzed Tim Bradley. And it's very hot. The cicadas are rubbing their legs together and making that strange... very similar to that ghastly noise which is coming from your mouth at this very moment. And it's very hot and she's covered in dust. The Australian dust is all over her. She's got dust on her knees, dust on her shoulders.
Dust on her bust, Pete.
On her bust, as you so rightly point out, Doug. And she's very dusty and very hot. And dusty, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, the clouds open. There's a tremendous clap of thunder, and suddenly the mongoose is on her. Tropical rainstorm is soaking through the frail poplin she's wearing, and as the dress gets damper and damper, damper and damper, her wonderful frail form is outlined against the poplin. And then, what does she hear? But in the distance, she hears a distant buzzing of an approaching plane. She cups her ear like this to hear that...
She cups her perfectly proportioned up-thrusting ear, Pete.
Poor Pete as well. Anyway, she cups it, and the plane comes down, goes on the runway, comes to halt, and out comes the bronzed Aussie. But all the propellers are going very fast still. There's a tremendous rushing wind, and it blows up against her, and it blows the damp dress right up against her and reveals for all the world to see her perfectly defined...
busty satin.
Busty.
What happens after that, Pete?
Well, the bronze pilot goes up to her and they walk away and the chapter ends in three dots.
What do three dots mean, Pete?
Well, in suits hands, three dots can mean anything, but...
How's your father, perhaps?
Usually means a bit of that, but suit always uses three dots. It means use your own imagination. Yeah. That's what it means. Conjure the scene up yourself. Whenever I see dots, I feel all funny.
Well, it's put me in the mood to go up the Balanced Library and look up bosom again.
No, it's no good looking up bosom. It only says... see bust.
Well, it's nice to read it all again, isn't
well,
it?
Well, it gives you something to do, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's lovely. Right.
Thank you.
Hazel O'Connor and Cover Plus were all grown up now. And before that, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore on Sex. I shall say no more. From 1966. Were we really that liberated in 1966? I didn't realise that. What? Big D Radio is where you're at. It's 5:44. Hazel O'Connor, by the way, is playing tomorrow at Slane, and John Kenny is like a cat with the cream, because he's going down to see Hazel O'Connor and the Bureau and U2 and Thin Lizzy. And the stars of tomorrow, of course, Smiley Bulger and the Half-Mad Irishman. I mean, U2 and Thin Lizzy pall into insignificance against Smiley and his boys. Here's something nice from a few years ago. It's the Fury Brothers with Davy Arthur. And this is The Lonesome Boatman.
you. You just sitting around watching me and moping all day. Why don't you get up and get out and go to work or something? Bet you think that I don't love you, baby. Bet you think that I don't care. But I wanna tell you, you got something, and I'm loving it with all my heart. I don't wanna ever part. I don't wanna be with nobody but you. No, no. I don't wanna be with no one but you. I wanna be wrapped up in the arms of my mighty man.
Why don't you
come on
me?
And rock me in your arms? 'Cause I know you can. Don't you know that you can call on me, baby? All you gotta do is say you will. 'Cause I'm ready just to love you and put an ear to all your doubts. I know we can work.
Thank you.
It's an album that comes out of 1976. It's called Best Friends, and it's Cleo Lane along with John Williams, and it's lovely. And that song is called Eleanor Rigby. That's the old Beatles number. That's where we wrap it up for this afternoon for Tanam Sugar Harlan. Thank you very much for listening. On behalf of musical director Tim Rawson and executive producer Dennis Murray, this is Tony Allen beating off the laughs and saying I'll see you tomorrow. between 10 and 12 in the morning, okay? And we're going to leave you with something rather tasty. Stay tuned. Johnny's up and coming with The Other Side of the Fence. This is another track from The Undisputed Truth. Method to the Madness is the name of the LP. And this song is all about sunshine. I suppose, with it being a spacey album, they must have a track on there called Nova somewhere. Bye-bye.
The first time I laid eyes on you, I knew I had to have you, girl, for myself. You see, the sun started to shine in my mind. My heart felt light, like a bird in flight, soaring across the blue skies. Now I'm standing in a crowd, feeling all alone, 'cause you're gone. I never really knew why you left. I did my best, but I must have failed you somewhere.
That a man ain't supposed to cry. Tell me why. Are his feelings not real? Must they always be concealed? My tears feel I search the streets desperately, hoping and praying that you'll be home soon, sunshine. Girl, I really got it bad, I swear. The room, the bed, where you used to lay your head, is empty. There's nothing left, nothing but your memory. Sunshine ain't
down. Thank you, Tony. See you tomorrow at 10 till 12. And welcome to The Other Side of the Fence till 9. It's John Kenny. Just sit back and enjoy it.
Heaven knows it's got to be.